Good day, and welcome to the Credit Bank of Moscow 3Q 2014 Financial and Business Results Conference Call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Elena Finishina. Please go ahead, madam.
Thank you, and good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining the presentation of nine months 2014 financial and business results of Credit Bank of Moscow today. Well, as mentioned, my name is Elena Finishina, and I'm Director of International Business Division in charge of investor relations. I would like to introduce our speakers today. Here with me are Vladimir Cuber, our CEO, and Eric Debuchaux, our CFO. We are kicking off with a short commentary on the business environment, which is to be followed by an overview of our key recent business developments as well as financial results. Now I would like to pass the floor to Vladimir.
Thank you, Elena. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. We are living through rough times, accompanied by slowdown in the Russian economy, instability on capital markets, worsened banking industry landscape, and volatile macro conditions. The main concern in the eyes of the foreign investors are obviously related to political risks recently materialized, oil prices drop, ruble depreciation and impact on the population and businesses, forex liquidity, CBR policy, asset deterioration, et cetera. We operate in this difficult environment, and in this situation, we managed to maintain a good performance during the year. I suggest turning to slide number four, where you can find a brief description of our business and key financial highlights. Currently, we are servicing roughly 15,000 corporate and 780,000 retail banking clients. Our distribution network is still highly concentrated compared to our peers, which results in a variety of advantages, such as centralized decision-making and risk management procedures, reduced operating expenses, bringing higher operational efficiency. It's worth mentioning that our international credit ratings have been confirmed at the same level during the reporting period, despite general negative trends in the rating estimations. The most recent confirmation being from Fitch Ratings at BB level with a stable outlook for high quality of our loan book, comfortable capitalization level, strong profitability, sound liquidity profile, and funding structure. Now, please let's move to the slide number five, and we will see the bank's key developments. The bank's IFRS net income increased by 13% in nine months of 2014 to compare with the same period of 2013 and accounted 6.4 billion Russian rubles. Total assets showed a 9% growth in nine months of 2014 and amounted almost half a trillion RUB. Gross loans portfolio increased by almost 17% up to 272 billion Russian rubles. The bank showed a slight deterioration of its loan book with NPLs standing at 2.6%. The bank maintains a comfortable level of capital adequacy with capital adequacy ratio of 14.8% and Tier 1 ratio almost 11%. In the second half of 2014, our bank gained international recognition for its achievements up to date. Namely, CBM won award Bank of the Year in Russia from The Banker magazine and Best Bank in Russia from Euromoney. Now I would like to pass the floor to Elena, and she will comment on the bank's business results for the reporting period, please.
Thank you, Vladimir. Let's go through the key developments in terms of the bank's business lines. Now I suggest turning to slide number six with the corporate banking overview. The loan book diversification by industries is healthy, with the highest industry exposure being below 12%. Comparatively short contractual maturities, along with synergies with cash handling, bring lower level of risk and a high turnover of credit resources. Despite slowing down in overall business growth, Credit Bank of Moscow continues to expand the volumes of business, albeit being more selective due to tightened risk management policy. As you can see on the graph here, corporate loan book has demonstrated 13% growth, which is well in line with the market, while corporate deposits have increased by 7%. Now let's focus on retail banking business on slide number 7. Individual lending continues to outstrip corporate lending in terms of the growth rate, although it has slowed down as compared with 2013 in line with the deceleration in economic growth. Retail gross loan book increased by 27% during the 9 months of 2014, with its share in total loan book currently exceeding 33%. The bank's target segments are consumer loans and mortgage loans, while more strict selection procedures and slowing down of activity are applied to most risky products such as credit cards. Retail deposits have shown an 11% growth in the reporting period, evidencing strong reputation of the bank in the market and high level of credibility, which is particularly valuable in the current volatile times. Now, I suggest moving on to financial performance of the bank, and therefore I pass the floor to Eric, who will provide details on dynamics of the key financial metrics. Please, Eric.
Thank you, Elena. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. So let's turn to slide number 9 and start our financial performance review from income and expenses dynamics. The main driver of 30% increase in operating income became a net interest income growth of almost 50% year-on-year, resulting in a solid net interest margin of 5.4% for the 9 month period of 2014. The main drivers were the repricing on the corporate loan book, as well as the increased share of retail lending. Net fee and commission income growth was primarily due to the increase of commissions from operations with plastic cards and from other settlement operations, which expanded in line with the bank's strategic focus on their development. Operating expenses grew by a lower rate of 22% comparing with operating income, resulting in a cost-to-income ratio decrease to 31% for the 9 months of 2014. Asset structure and asset growth dynamics are presented on slide 10. The bank has accumulated a significant liquidity buffer with cash on hand as well as trading book consisting of highly liquid debt securities, accounting altogether for 24% of total assets. Loan portfolio amounts to 72% of total assets, being the main driver of the asset growth. Let's go through the key loan portfolio metrics on slide number 11. Non-performing loans demonstrated an upward trend during 2014, reaching 2.6% of the total gross loan at the end of the third quarter. The bulk of growth occurred during the third quarter, mostly due to one of the large corporate borrowers showing signs of impairment, which is clearly illustrated on the upper right-hand graph of this slide. Level of corporate non-performing loans increased from 0.25% at the end of June to 0.83% at the end of September 2014. The bank maintains a sufficient loan loss provision level of 3.6% of the loan gross portfolio and a comfortable NPL coverage ratio of 140%. At the same time, the cost of risk increased up to 2.7%, which still remains relatively healthy. The increase in provisioning level resulted from the deterioration of market environment and the deceleration of the economic growth, coupled with the bank's conservative provisioning policy. Concentrations remain at a stable level in terms of the top 10 and top 20 largest exposures. The related party lending level decreased to 1.1% of the bank's equity. The next slide, number 12, provides a detailed breakdown of the bank's well-diversified funding structure. Customer accounts, representing 70% of the liabilities and consisting mainly of term deposits, showed a 9% growth in the 9-month period of 2014, which was in line with the total assets dynamics. Forming 18% of liabilities, wholesale funding demonstrates a well-balanced maturity structure, with the bulk of foreign currency repayments being due in 2018. The bank's capital position at the end of September is shown on the slide number 13. IFRS capital adequacy ratio was maintained at a comfortable level of 14.8%, and Tier 1 ratio at a level of 10.8%. The Russian accounting standard capital ratios are well above regulatory minimum, with N10 ratio at 12.3%, and N11 and N12 ratio at the level of 8.1%. The bank profits consistently contribute to Tier 1 capital, keeping the bank's capital position stable. These were the main highlights of the bank's financial and business results in the 9-month period of 2014. Thank you very much for your attention. Now we suggest moving forward to the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. If you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. As a reminder, it's star 1 to ask a question. We now have our first question. It comes from Magdalena Sokolowska of Morgan Stanley. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon to everyone. I have two questions, and almost by definition they are more about your prospects than about the 9-month delivery. So really two things. First, how do you assess your margin trajectory going forward? So including, of course, increase of the funding, including, I assume, also interest rate hikes by the central bank, which the market seems to be expecting already for next year, and also what you can do from a kind of repricing of the asset perspective. So on a kind of 6-month view, if you could give us your take on your margin development. So that's my first question. And of course, the second question is about the corporate asset quality. How damaging do you think are going to be the most recent, effectively ruble devaluation, and also what seems to be expectations of recession into next year? Thank you.
Thank you, Magdalena, for this question. It's Vladimir. So first of all, regarding your first question, our expectation is that the margin will be at the level of third quarter or higher, because, of course, you're absolutely right, the level of the pricing on our liability side is increasing now due to the CBR decisions and higher expectations of our lenders. This is absolutely true, but at the same time, we are moving this repricing to our customers. So that's why, as maybe you saw, the margin for the third quarter is higher than the same margin for the second quarter and the first quarter. So our expectation is that it will be even maybe higher than third quarter. Anyway, we will see, because any forecast now is not so easy to make in the current environment. In terms of deterioration of the corporate book, of course, also any forecast now not so easy to give, but anyway, we see that it can be some possible issues for the Russian borrowers, for the Russian companies, because of the devaluation of Russian ruble. And what we see now that some clients of our bank who was really working with the US dollars as the currency of the loans, now they are in the process of thinking about to move the currency to Russian rubles. So it doesn't mean there is some immediate problems for these customers, because a big part of these customers are exporters and also importers, so that's why they somehow try to move this forex risks to their customers. But in this case, we can also come, of course, to the problem with the decreasing of the consumer demand. So that's why, of course, can be some issues in this way. So now there is no immediate comments, but as a trend, as a tendency, of course, it can be in a decrease, but nothing dramatic what we see now at this moment.
Vladimir, I just want to follow up on the margin side. So really, just two additional questions. One, whether you are actually seeing any acceleration of the re-dollarization of the retail deposits over the last, let's say, 6 weeks. So there's one question. And second, given that you're able to reprice your corporate loans, or you seem to be able to reprice your corporate loans and kind of stem the impact of the increased cost of funds, on average, what is your marginal corporate rate for 1 year ruble money at the moment?
Okay. In terms of changing of the split in deposit portfolio, the answer is simple. There is no changes. We really expected about 3-4 months ago it can be, but it's still the same portion of forex deposits in the structure of all deposits of the bank. To be honest, for me, it's kind of surprised, because we were expecting the same as it was in 2008, but still the same portion, about 15-16%, is foreign currencies, and another part is Russian rubles. If you talk about private depositors, among the corporate depositors, majority, so almost all the deposits are in a form of Russian rubles still, so there is no some inflow of USD or euro deposits. This is number one question answer. And in terms of, and what was the second question, please remind me?
How, on average, kind of, what do you charge for your 1 year ruble corporate money? And I know, of course, you know, it's a question across the risk buckets as well. But on average, given that you have that you're able to reprice your corporate loans to offset your increases in funding, you know, what is it? What's the marginal corporate rate?
In terms of the in the terms of the corporate rates, so what we see now, average. So of course it depends on the quality on of the customer, definitely, and the rates now are different. So we have the borrowers with the rates 12% and 13% in Russian rubles still. So because they are like super liquid, super quality, related to government or to the big Russian group of companies like this, and for some borrowers we increased, or for example, like new loans can be with the rates 16 or 17 in the Russian rubles.
Okay.
But it's very absolutely big difference. So as it was like maybe half year ago, the difference between the rates for different customers was 2-3% maximum. Now it can be up to 5, from minimum to maximum.
Can I just ask, and I know I'm hogging the line, so I'm sorry, but my last question is going to be, when you weigh the kind of the two things that are happening, you are increasing corporate rates for new loans. You're offsetting your mm-hmm. own increase in cost of funding from one side. But we are also kind of heading, we're also in a kind of very challenging and heading into probably a more challenging macro environment. Where do you think is the point where you would kind of consider not raising corporate rates anymore, because you would kind of assume that the moment you raise the rates 3 months later, that particular loan comes back to you as an NPL? I'm simplifying. But where is in your mind the balance between the level of repricing and where you think mm-hmm. that where the corporate cycle would just become much more challenging than it is so far?
I can remind you that even in 2008, sometimes the rates were like up to more than 20% in Russian rubles.
Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, of course, even higher. So even for the best borrowers, it was 20%. So now it's not so easy to answer, and I really prefer not to answer, because it's like trying to make any forecast for the future, and with the current environment, I really can't answer you. So we are now managing the bank every day, so we're just trying to work with the current customers. New risk appetite is much lower than it was before, even 3-4 months ago. So the main idea now is to support the current customer base, to refinance them if they need this from other banks, because sometimes the banks don't like to work with the customers, not only because of the customer problems, let's say like this. So, and that's why now it's very important, as I said a lot of times, to support your customer base, and if you believe in the customer, just give him liquidity to support the business. So, like this.
Okay. No, it's understandable. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Magdalena. Thank you, Mike.
As a reminder at this time, it's *1 to ask a question from your telephone keypad. We can now take our next question. It comes from Olga Veselova from Bank of America. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Thank you for the call. I have a couple of questions, Vladimir. One is about the regulation. You now have seen the central bank maximum levels of interest rates on retail loans. What portion of retail loans do you have above these caps? I know we've discussed it in the past, but the levels have changed. So if you have any, what is your strategy? This is my first question. My second question is about the trend in asset quality in consumer segment. Do you see impact on customers' payment discipline and also on ability to pay due to the ruble weakness? And my third question is about the changes in the management team. I remember we discussed it at one of the previous calls. How do you progress with the replacement, and do you have any plans for replacement, or you think the team is fully formed? Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Olga. So first of all, your first question, in terms of the, I really, when it's a lot of questions, and I didn't make any comments on this. So first question was about the interest rates for
interest
the private.
Interest rates published by the central bank.
Right, right.
Mm-hmm.
So first of all, that we see now no immediate impact on the bank because of the new regulation, and I cannot comment now with the really what portion of the of our borrowers will be higher than this threshold from CBR. But as I discussed this with my colleagues, it's not material, absolutely not material. Your second question in terms of the NPLs of the private borrowers also. So we see now that the quality of the book is quite stable. You can see it also from our financials that cost of risk for the biggest portion of the private loans, which is consumer loans, The cost of risk is just increased a little bit from 6.3 to 6.4% in the third quarter. So if you ask me about the current environment, so we didn't see some dramatic changes and any links between ruble devaluation and NPL, so like discipline to pay, there is no link because first of all, of course, as you know, I think that we never like to give the Forex loans, so like USD loans to our private borrowers, and that's why there is no impact from this side. In terms of instability in Russian economy and maybe some problems with like a kind of unemployment rate can go higher, etc. So also there is no impact. Maybe because we have the strategy of one city, one region, so Moscow is our home market, that's why Moscow will feel all these problems maybe in I don't know, half year, 1 year, but not the first region to feel this. And your last question about the management. So the team now is, how to say, completed, let's say like this. So we are now, of course, every time we like to have new professionals in the bank. But if you ask me about the top management level, there is no immediate need for the bank to hire people here.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you, Olga.
As a final reminder today, it's star 1 from your telephone keypad if you would like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Mihal Nikitin of VTP Capital. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Yes. Hello, and thanks for the call. Just a couple of quick questions. First one is, would you, given your FX liquidity position, would you consider buying out some of your euro bonds? Because, you know, as we speak, it's traded at 85 or maybe 90 in terms of price. And second question on your subordinated debt issue in November, the ruble one, what's the impact on capital ratios? Thanks.
In terms of, yes, thank you first of all for the question. In terms of our current bonds in the market, so if you ask me about the decision to buy them from the market, there is no decision like this. We are looking what is happening now. In terms of sub-bonds, of course, we cannot support them, definitely. In terms of the senior bonds, no decision like this to buy them from the market. So we see that there is a... of course, some trends which are not positive, which are negative, but maybe in the future we will decide. In terms of your second question, the impact will be, it's easy to calculate, so 1% in terms of the capital adequacy ratio, but we are now in progress with the CBR to register, so not yet.
But it will be registered by the year end, at least, I think, yeah?
We expect, yes.
So they're very timely. Even, you know, with this coupon, it's now not that high, you know, given what happened afterwards. Okay, thanks for your answers. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye.
We can now take our final question. It comes from Nick Dimitrov of Morgan Stanley. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Quick question. Can you guys chat a little bit about your loan growth expectations in light specifically of your capital ratios and the fact that profitability is becoming increasingly more challenged? You've been growing very fast until now, but if you look at, you know, your earnings, you know, coming down and your capital ratios coming under pressure, you know, I would argue that, you know, we're going to probably see a slowdown in your loan growth. Am I correct here, or?
Hi, Nick. Thank you for the question. So, first of all, of course, the growth until this time was in line with the market, maybe a little bit faster. And, of course, some growth we have, not only from because of the growth of the book, but also because of the revaluation of Russian ruble, and of course some loans we have in US dollars. But if you ask me about the future forecast, of course, that I told just maybe 5 minutes ago, there is no strategy now to have huge inflow of new customers. The main idea now to support the current customer base and to select from the market the best names, also to give them money. So that's why you're correct that there is no strategy to grow the same as it was even until this time of the year or as it was even last year. The risk appetite of the bank now is lower than it was in the middle of the year or in the beginning of this year. That's all. Thank you.
Would you like to take another question?
Hello? I'm sorry. Yes, this is going to be my final question. I was looking at your or the change of your quarterly numbers, and I noticed that the provision expense increased by about 80% quarter over quarter, which is a fairly high number. But at the same time, your operating expenses declined by about 30%, so that, you know, took away a lot of the hit. However, you know, a lot of these are not sustainable, specifically, you know, decreasing your expenses at such a rate going into the future. Can you give me some color in terms of where do you see your OPEX going in the coming quarters and maybe even, you know, provision expense, which I know is very hard in the current challenging environment?
Sorry, the first question was about what is our expectation in terms of the operational expenses, yeah? Am I right?
Correct, because I saw that it declined by about 30% quarter over quarter, which is a fairly drastic decline.
Yeah. So first of all, in terms of the operational expense, what's the biggest part? Of course, the biggest part is the salaries. So now, of course, as we are now growing, there will be no increase in terms of the salaries and all the expenses linked with this. So the taxes, etc. In terms of the other expenses, there is also rental payments for our offices. So there is now also the strategy to grow the number of the office in the number of the offices. We just like maybe to change a couple of them, the place of the offices, maybe to close one or two. So also we are not expecting the increase of in the number of the offices. In terms of other expenses, there is also some seasonal effects of the commercial expenses, which is advertising normally. So in the second quarter it was more commercial expenses, and in the third quarter a little bit less. Last quarter also will be so more expensive in this way, let's say like this, and there will be higher expenses for the advertising. So, but in a general, we are not expecting kind of increase in this area. Maybe a decrease a little bit. In terms of NPLs, you're absolutely right. The third quarter, we increased our provisioning level, and it was because, of course, the current environment. We decided to be more conservative, and also expectations for the future to be more conservative to provide this area with a more with the bigger numbers. So, but as I answered one of the first questions, we don't see now any dramatic expectations in terms of the NPLs and in terms of the provisions. But the overall decision is to be more conservative.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Nick. Bye.
We can now take our next question. It comes from Greg Palfi of Palfa Assets. Your line is open. Please go ahead.
Hi. Thank you very much for giving me the chance. I have 3-4 questions. Just going back to the gross loans, do you have any figure for the end of 14 or and also maybe for 15? The second one would be just a really simple question about the cash, the percent of cash held in hard currency. And just regarding any financial assets that are encumbered, if you can comment, if any,
Greg,
what percent?
I'm sorry, yep. Maybe I'll answer one by one.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, so the first question, could you please repeat it? It was about...
Yeah, the first question was just the gross loan figure. What do you expect for the end of 14 and maybe for 15, end of 15?
Yeah, in terms of the 14, we expect for all the year, I think that will be about 20%, yeah?
Yeah.
Loan portfolio, yeah, about 20% for all the year. Next year, cannot comment. So I know it's not right word in English, but see, like, it's not forecastable, absolutely.
Yeah, so yeah, sure, sure. Okay.
Yeah, we try to do now even a budget in December for the next year. It's moving because of a lot of moving parts in Russian economy, ruble, exchange rates, and etc. But in general, we do not expect some huge speed of the growth of the bank. Yeah, like this.
Okay.
The second
okay. And for the retail part of the gross loans, what would be the year-on-year
so
increase?
The, as we see now, the majority will come from the corporate, because in the retail, we just need to now maybe to revalidate the risk, to look at the changing environment and to understand what will be the next steps from the CBR, etc., etc. So the growth will mm-hmm. come definitely more from the corporate side.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the second cash question was the percent of cash held in hard currency.
What do you mean by this question?
Just, I mean, if one looks at the cash balance, I'm just wondering what percent is in ruble and what is in euros or dollars.
Ah, yeah, okay. So about how much we have in Russian rubles and how much in you mean in the assets, just the structure
exactly.
of the
just on the balance sheet on the cash. Yeah.
Maybe now my colleagues will check now the exact figures, but we can move now to another question and we will come okay. to this one.
Sure. And just regarding the July, I mean, I heard rumors or maybe lobbying by the banking sector that the rule that from January 1st, the 5.5% ratio will be 6% for the Tier 1. Mm-hmm. And really, maybe, I mean, I heard it could be pushed out to July 1st. Is there any, what was the latest plan by the CBR?
No, it was about the liquidity, so Basel III in terms of the liquidity, but in terms of the capital ratios. Actually, as I've heard, it's almost decided to be moved to 1st of July. You're absolutely right, which I really can comment as very good decision of CBR because of the current situation in the market will be very supportive for the banks, for all the banks in Russian banking system
sure,
to
sure.
move this. Like mm-hmm. this, yeah.
Okay, so you can confirm it will be moved. Okay, okay. And just regarding, you know, the repos, I don't know. I mean, I'm just wondering if you have any, if you can comment on the percent of financial assets or other assets that are encumbered because of the repo between you and the CBR. Yeah, I don't know if you can.
At the current moment, the position is almost free, so all the bonds we have and the assets, so bonds of other issuers, are almost free of the repo at the current moment.
Okay. All free of repos. Okay.
Yeah, like maybe 10% just booked in the CBR for the repo operations. And yeah, coming back to your question in terms of the asset structure, so we can just comment on the loan book, yeah?
Yeah, we can provide you comments on the split of the loan portfolio by currency, which is at hand right now. So hard currency makes around 15-16% of the total loan book.
15, 1.5, right?
1.5, yes. And if we move to all the assets, my expectations, yeah, maybe a little bit lower even than this figure.
Okay, 15%. Okay. Well, actually, I originally asked for the cash. So in terms of, you know, just the cash balance. But that's also good info.
I think we have your information, or you can send to our IR people the question. We can just give you exact figure, not to just tell you roughly or something like this. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Okay. And just the last question, if the CBR goes ahead with the 200 basis point increase next week, how much would you pass on to the customers I mean, it depends
on the customer, of course. But anyway, we will move some rates of the customers, definitely. But it depends on the discussion with the customer, and it depends on other products we have with the customer. So it's a very complex question. But anyway, of course, we will react.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
We have no further questions at this point. So at this stage, I would like to hand the call back to the speaker for any additional or concluding remarks. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this call. And, we'll see. We'll hear you in, I think, 3 months, maybe a little bit more. Thank you very much. Bye.
That will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation, ladies and gentlemen. You may now disconnect.